Welcome to episode 5 of Greasepod Radio. Tonight, I gathered myself and 4 other men to discuss things about discussions. It was a very interesting and fun time. We had a lot of laughs. But we hit a lot of serious topics also. We had some technical difficulties. There are a couple places where the tape kind of goes a little bizarre. I took out most of them. There are a few sections I left just so that you could kind of get the context of things when it goes back to normal. So please enjoy episode number 5, The Man. George, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Oak Square.
I'm here.
Sudo and Ruff.
Cool.
I'm here.
And
great.
Okay, well, we're... Everybody else here?
Got them all. So what I was saying is that we've got some great discussions going on in the About the Way forum, kind of analyzing what we do and why we do the things we do pertaining to discussions and that. And I thought we could kind of delve into that this evening. It's interesting that we're finally getting to a point where we're in a sense, self-policing, which is the way I'd love it to go. But get more into discussion rather than getting into attacks. I was actually going to let Oak Spear start because he's done some very interesting posts in the past few days. You want to go ahead with that?
Sure.
Anybody got any comments?
No, I've never done anything like that. I've never said anything like that.
That was George, by the way.
I guess my whole thing is, you know, the whole purpose of the Greasepod, from what I could understand, was, you know, get a lot of this stuff out of off our chest, you know, get the junk out of your mind, and it's going to get ugly at times. And I just think that's kind of normal. I don't know. I mean, not to the point where, you know, somebody should be harassed and harangued and made to feel like, you know, some kind of jerk, or, you know, just traumatized over their whole experience. But, you know, just basic stating of your opinion or whatever. If people get upset about my opinions on things, I don't know. I think, well, maybe they need to get upset.
Mm-hmm. I don't think the issue. This is Oakspear again. I don't think the issue is so much opinions. I mean, because opinions are opinions. Everyone's going to have them. It's when it gets to the point where, you know, if you express your opinion and you're called a godless heathen, for example. I mean, you see a lot of times where you get somebody who will make a statement about a positive experience they had in the way. And, you know, mm-hmm. I had positive experiences, I had negative experiences. But that doesn't mean I'm a supporter of all the sexual abuse and all the other kinds of abuse just because I say, hey, I had a great 2 days on my wow year. And I see that kind of stuff happening all the time.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I'm late.
Raphael, I think you wanted to say something.
That was me, yes. Isn't it the case that a lot of times these positive experiences are brought up not so much to say, hey, I had a really good experience there, but to say that the bad experiences that are being shared are somehow invalid? That there's somehow, we're bringing up positive experiences not because, not for an independent voice or a different point of view, but to say, therefore, the way was better than it was bad. What we went through was more good than bad because what I went through was more good than bad.
Or that the person who had the bad experience somehow did it wrong.
Right.
Yeah. That would.
I know if you were more like me.
Exactly. Yeah. That. Yeah. You know, the pro and anti way contingents that exist and are real. There seems to be a lack of just respecting the other person's opinion, or what happened to them. There's almost there's a couple of camps of just grease spot politically correct going on, and so. It's almost like the good experiences can't coexist with the bad experiences. They mm-hmm. have to be eliminated. Anybody want to go with that?
Well, yeah, there's Oakspear here. There's certainly a lot of that going on. And there are a few posters out there who I believe, or appears to be, that they're posting their positive experiences as a rebuttal to a negative experience. I think that's maybe in a different camp or a different category, rather, than... You know, somebody who's just saying, hey, I learned some good stuff when I was at Way Family Camp or something like that. And I think the responses need to be measured in what's actually happening there. And I don't know that it's ever a good idea to just out and out flame somebody. You know, there definitely are some folks out there who that's the purpose of their positive experience, to say, well, you were a bad person because you didn't have a positive experience. You did it wrong because you didn't get results. You never saw miracles and things like that. So I guess it falls upon the rest of us to keep a cool head and just engage in some kind of rational discussion, because eventually they're going to get tired of the argument, and we can maybe get back to the subject at hand, whatever that subject is at the time.
Yeah. Our favorite dentist. Did you want to check in here?
Well, yes, I'm one of those, and I'm thinking there are a lot like me who didn't have a real bad experience with the Way Ministry. We left because we were fed up with this or that, but we didn't have any sexual abuse, and we didn't have people, screaming in our face, and we wouldn't have put up with that had they done that.
I can't believe Dr. Will never tried to get in your pants.
Thanks for putting an image in my head that will not leave for a very long time.
So I'm just saying that, for me, it's harder to understand that, some people have these horrible experiences, trying to be empathetic with that.
Right. So, different strokes for different folks. Some people had good experiences, some people had bad, some had a mixture of the two.
But by the nature of the beast, probably Grease Spot is tuned to those who had a bad experience. They're looking for a release. And probably there are those who didn't have such a bad experience, and they don't hang around the grease spot that much. That's possible, too. So it could be the results you're seeing are skewed to the negative.
Mm-hmm. I've been told that many times.
Okay.
Well, and then this Oakspear, pseudo, despite the fact that you had overall decent experiences in the Way, I don't see you or people like yourself calling people liars either, and we've got some of that going on. Well, I didn't see such and such happen, so therefore you're lying.
I don't know if that's so much a function of having been in a cult so much as it is a function of human nature, and you would see that on any kind of ex-religious board.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that anyone actually does that says you're lying. I think that certain things can be interpreted that way. but I can't. I'm hard pressed to think of somebody who's flat out said, you know, what you say you've been through, you did not go through. I've heard people say, or I've seen people say that, you know, what you say others have been through, you're exaggerating. You don't know that. And kind of denying that it was a massive thing, that it was a widespread thing. But I don't think anybody's denied an individual story. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. How's that for taking a stand? Maybe I'm wrong. The courage of his conviction.
Well, that could be human nature, too. If someone says, well, I never heard of such a thing, and I was in the way for 20 years, so therefore you must be lying, you know, that sort of thing.
And
I think a lot of times it's more of an implication than I can't off the top of my head. I got one suspect that I don't want to mention a name, but it's more of an implication than anything else. I don't recall too many situations where someone came right out and said, you're lying. But the response is framed in such a way that that's the message that's being sent. And then, you know, and then the other side of that is the person who is on the receiving end of the message, you got a couple of different choices. One, you can ignore that implication and just move on. You can address it rationally, or you can entirely wig out and turn the threat into a food fight.
And too often that happens. One of the sad things is that there are threads that have just wonderful discussions. I love seeing the differences of opinions and seeing how somebody's take is on things. And too many times the thread gets broken down into a food fight. And it's almost impossible to bring it back on topic, if depending on how bad the food fight was.
Well, you get a lot of ego gets involved and I've done this too. I did this just the other day. You get so involved in defending your point and why you said what you said that you get so far away from the original topic that you might as well just close the thread down and start over somewhere else.
Yes, absolutely. One thing that, this is going off just a little bit, but I'm not sure if it was you, Oakspear, or somebody else that did this quote, but I really like it, saying, I don't know why it is, but posts are read in the worst possible light. It seems like people look for ways to take offense, not bothering to find out if offense is intended. Any thoughts on that? I see it happening quite a bit.
I've been guilty of that quite a bit, I'm sure. There were a couple of times where I read something very quickly, and I know that, as particularly in the political forums, you read something very quickly and you shoot off your answer, and then you think to yourself, gee, if only I'd read a little bit more slowly, I would have caught that I'm wrong. I've misinterpreted what this poor person was telling me. I remember one time somebody telling me that I was looking a little blue in the face because of one of the extended discussions I was having on a certain topic. I don't know what it was, but I'm sure it was in the doctrinal forum, if you catch my meaning. And you know, the person told me I was blue in the face, and I thought, you know, they were saying that I was starting to lose it, and, you know, and the person was saying that you can talk until you're blue in the face and this person won't understand or agree with you. And, right. And it was a perfectly innocuous statement, but I was, how dare you say that about me? Meanwhile, if I had just stopped and said, what is this person trying to say? I don't even remember who it was anymore. But we're all great buddies now, you know. I think it's fantastic. One thing that I think that people don't necessarily realize is you can get into a long knockdown drag out with somebody and be the best of buddies at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that I've really appreciated about this. The illegal aliens conversation that I had with someone was, it was 6 months long, and it was just the most acrimonious debate that you've seen in ages. And we're buddies, you know. I mean, I really, you know, he and I get along fantastic. We haven't talked in a while, but that's because you're in different cities, and after a while, you just lose touch. But you know, as far as grease butt goes, you know, we're pals. Jerry Barracks was certainly one. He and I, oh my God, we were throwing things at each other. Thank God we were not in the same room. And no one would know it now. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been allies for so long, nobody would have the slightest idea that there was a point early on in all of this when he and I were at each other's throats. More me than him. I'm guilty on that one. But
well, I'm glad you stuck around, Rick. So many people, you know, they'll get a little mad and leave in a huff, and you never hear from them again. I'm glad that some people, you know, stick it out, stay around, and get to know them a little better.
Well, I think there's a certain amount of street fighting, quote, so to speak, that goes on in a discussion forum like this, and you have to have the guts to stick it out. And you know what Raphael was saying about disagreeing vehemently and still being buddies. You know, there's plenty of people on this board that I disagree on almost every point with, but I still get along with just fine. And there's a lot of the folks who have walked off in a huff have done so, in my opinion, because they couldn't handle a difference of opinion. They couldn't handle seeing their position challenged, whether it was done in a polite fashion or a vicious fashion, but that it just was the whole thing of their opinion being challenged.
Is it possible that may be because we all were in an organization that did not tolerate dissent?
I was just gonna say that.
Jeez, you think?
Partially.
It's an absolute art to.
Are you dissenting from me, Pseudo?
By the way, this is all men tonight, so we can fart and belch and everything like that.
I've been farting all along.
Oh, thank God we're in different rooms.
Gentlemen,
I mentioned that I'm going to have to jump off every now and then. This is one of those times. I'll be right back.
We can talk amongst ourselves.
Or we can talk about him, you know, now that he's not here, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's a more important thing, I think. But getting back to, you know, just the idea of, not throwing stones and whatnot, there's a certain, you know, I understand that things get extreme, but there's a certain point, you know, where if you take all the teeth out of it entirely, it gets so boring, nobody's going to want to participate anyway. You know, if it just gets to be Pollyanna sweet speak and everybody's pals and nobody raises any disagreement, you know, well, okay, fine. Well, what are we doing here? It'll get really boring. And I've even seen threads die because of that. You know, everybody comes to some sweet amicable agreement and everybody decides to be pals and nobody's got anything to talk about anymore.
Well, I know when I did the throwing stones thread, I was a little perturbed at the time, and it's one of those things that at least for me, if I'm a little perturbed, I tend to write a little better. But it also can mm-hmm. Exaggerate the circumstances, and I totally agree with you, George, that it would be very boring if everybody agreed with each other or if we all played nice all the time. I think that
it'd be kind of like the way.
Exactly. And one thing that's I've always wanted to see but never quite figured out, I think people learn it over time. People that leave or have just left or still kind of have what we call way brain don't know how to think critically. They don't know how to take a subject matter, whether it be something political, religious, social, and analyze it and develop an opinion on it. Take a stand, or so to speak, on what you do or don't believe. Are you a liberal? Are you a conservative? Are you this, that, or the other thing? And that's something that I would love to see, figure out a way that people could develop that.
It's almost, you have people, this is Oakspear again, you have to learn it mm-hmm. as you go. You have to learn almost by example. I mean, there's some people on the board now who I think have got some good minds, but they don't exercise them. And it, it seems the most obvious among some of the PFAL supporters, but it's not limited to them, where to settle an argument, it becomes what we learned in PFAL, or the word says, or any number of phrases that we used a lot back in our way days, where that's not considered an arguable or an unassailable point anymore. And I think there's some good and accurate things in Power for Better Living, but I'm not going to use that as the bedrock of truth. And I think there's a lot of folks who they will go back to that. And when they're challenged on those points, it's not to just ask to think it through. There's some resistance because it's a new thing to some people. It's an uncomfortable thing. But I think if they stick around and they are genuinely prodded to back up their points, especially in forums like the doctoral forum, sometimes there's a little higher standard on discussion. People learn how to make their points and
I think it's important that in the area of discussion, it's not, or debating, it's not necessarily win or lose. And sometimes if you think very black and white, you get into that rut that, you have, in order for this to end, I have to be right. And it can't end until I'm right. Any thoughts?
I think that's just human nature. It's just most all forms have been on the whole form, the last 10 years, the last political forms, religious forms, religious human nature. People want to be right. Takes a little, if you want to get along. I don't think it's not necessarily a feature of X-Eat-Your-Way ministry people. So we probably have things all in common that while we were all involved in something like that in the first place, what would that draw us to a cult like the Way Ministry? So, Way Ministry. Maybe there's something we don't quite realize. We all have in common, don't quite realize what it is, because if you look on the surface of it, we're all so different. What could be that common thread that made us all want to join an organization like that?
Good point. That's something that could be delved into, although we'd probably come up with a number of answers or possibilities. Raf, are you back?
I am back.
Any comments?
It's funny because I hear these conversations and the first thing I want to do is confess and apologize.
That's okay. I'm here to hear your confession.
Oh, great.
How many weeks has it been since your last confession?
I'm confessing to the resident curmudgeon. That makes perfect sense. No, I mean, I recognize these things in myself. I see them and I think to myself, yeah, that they're describing me. I think that's why you invited me on this call. It was to point fingers and, say, so, Raf, why do you do these things?
we're confronting you.
Yeah.
That's what it is. This is an intervention,
yes.
Disguised as a Greasebot radio interview.
Yeah.
But I do recognize these things in myself. And, there were times I used to have on the old forum a prayer circle. I asked people to come in, and a lot of times it was just, help me cool down. There are times when I get so hot-headed about something. And, my friends would come in there, and they'd say, hey, relax. And I thought that was so necessary. Of course, what was really great was when somebody pointing out that we were friends gets on one of the political forums and said, hey, Raf and I are friends. I'm even in his private prayer circle, which cracked me up. So much for private.
Yeah.
And that was beautiful. I thought it was just great. It was like, really? Private? Okay. but I did appreciate that people were willing and able to come up and talk to me and say, you know what, I may agree with you 100%, but you need to take a pill. Valium, Valtrex, I don't care what you take. Just take something to calm yourself down. And that's important. I think we were in this ministry where, oh, what I want to be right was actually a song. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to be right all the time. I want to be heard, and I want to listen. And if we do that, instead of having to be right all the time, we might be able to get along a little bit better and still disagree.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. We're going to have to cut you off. Yeah.
Let me go find my pill bottle.
That is a good point, though. I mean, we were in a group, in a ministry, that were being right was more important than a lot of things, you know, and how nasty that became. I guess it depended on when you were involved, but, you know, making people mad at you, losing, running your family off, any number of things was just took a backseat to being right, to knowing the truth, capital letters, underlined, bold font, whereas, you know, life isn't necessarily like that.
Right.
And, you know, it's, you know,
not only were you right, but you knew that you knew that you knew you were right.
There you go.
I think that was part of it, really. You know, the common thread for all of us could have been being in an organization that promised us that we would know for sure, without a doubt, that we had the truth. And maybe that's what we all were looking for.
And how many of us are agnostics tonight?
Well, it could be that the truth is not what we thought it was.
Yeah.
It ain't what it's cracked up to be.
And even, you know, is the truth just a perception that an individual has, and that it's different for everybody.
Well, one
for the record, 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
Are
I was going to say,
I want that question answered before I start getting accusations from people.
One of the things that I do a lot on the threads is I just ask questions, because I'll see something that in my mind is some of the old way, quote-unquote, I am right attitude, and I'll just ask, well, okay, why do you think that? You know, couldn't it also be B instead of A, or, you know, maybe A and a half? And sometimes you get some good thought and some good discussions out of that, and sometimes you get shut down. I just know. How could you question that?
Roth? Oh, he must have gone.
I apologize. I had one of those moments again. Actually, that's going to be a great excuse when I'm not paying attention and the question is directed right at me.
I'm at work.
Actually, I am on the clock for those listening. I actually am at work.
So you get paid for doing this?
Distracted. I get paid for doing this. No, I get paid for what I'm doing while I'm doing this.
Okay.
What was the question again? Sort of the summation of the question again?
Wasn't there a question? It was more of an observation about asking questions of people when they've made a statement or taken a position of this is the way it is. And a lot of what I do is I'll jump in and ask a question. Well, why do you think that? Or couldn't it be a different way? And the responses to that are varied. I mean, sometimes you get considered responses, and sometimes you get, oh, shut up, I just know that's the way it is.
That is the basic tool of two professions, journalism and psychology.
Grocery manager, too. We use that a lot.
Well, it's...
And religious conversion. We get the other person talking.
Yep.
Remember, that was part of the deal. Get that person to answer your questions. Of course, that was more cynical and manipulative in a lot of ways. You ask them leading questions to get them to say, yeah, you know what? That class does make sense. Where do I sign? but for the most part, you know, my job is to, or was, to ask a question that evokes a response. and what people don't seem to understand, the stupidest question in journalism is, of course, how do you feel, which nobody likes to ask. And you think the TV reporter is an idiot for asking some mother who just lost her kids in a horrific train accident that involved an airplane, you know, how do you feel? And, you know, you feel like slapping that reporter. Meanwhile, you want to hear her answer. Well, how are we supposed to get it? Tell me how to get the answer to that question without asking it, and I will find a way. And sometimes it's funny, the point of questions is getting the answer. And I'm very fortunate to be in print journalism, because in broadcast journalism, you hear the question. In print, you don't. Mm-hmm. So I just get to use the answer. And the bottom line is, it gets the other person talking. It gets the other person to explain what their thought process is. And I agree with Oakes. We do need to do more of that. We do need to, instead of jumping and grabbing somebody else by the throat, say, what did you mean? What are you getting at? What are you trying to say? Because what you did say caught me off guard. I think the recent big argument, I won't mention it, but the recent big argument would have been averted if it had just been, okay, I want to tell you how what you said reached my ears. Mm-hmm. Because that was, I'll say this, when I was reading it, what was actually said bothered the living daylights out of me. I did not get involved in that fight. But what was actually said bothered me to no end. And it wasn't meant. You know, I communicate for a living, and I hope I do a good job of it, but even I, now and then, say something and realize I said it the wrong way, and I might have offended somebody. For people who don't communicate for a living, who don't try to become experts at this, oh my God, you know, we're being judged on the use of words. Well, these things are powerful. And, you know, we know that as, you know, former or current Bible students. I know that in my profession, I can't imagine how somebody who is not necessarily as careful with word selection is going to just write something casual and not be misunderstood. It's going to happen. It's going to happen to me. It's going to happen to you. Look forward to it and have a little fun. But if you and I can say, all right, before I go crazy and want to hit this guy in the head with a stick, I'd like to know what exactly did you mean by saying that the entire chapter of Myth of the 6 Million was a highlight? I don't... Maybe I want to know what you meant when you said that, because if I'm just going by what you said... Okay, I'm done.
But, well, Rap, you know, for those of us who don't have your skills, it's something a lot of us can't do.
You see that?
Yes?
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to, like, build myself up as some guild wordsmith. I'm just saying I do this for a living.
Oh, no,
like,
no.
Well, it's not so much being a wordsmith or not. It's you know, Pawtucket brought up earlier about something I had said on one of the threads about not assuming the worst. I mean, you know, you guys know I was divorced a few years ago and remarried, and the one thing my current wife and I agree on is, you know, don't make any assumptions. You know, if you think I'm being a jerk, say something, and we'll figure it out. And if I am, well, then we'll deal with that. But in life, people will say things that you're going to misunderstand, and you're going to say things that other people are going to misunderstand. And it's multiplied when you're dealing with print, because you don't have facial expressions, you don't have the body language, any number of contextual cues. So you've got to.
And we don't have the skills.
Yeah. Right. So you've got to ask questions. You know, you think somebody wrote something, and people are sometimes sloppy with the way they word things. So you ask. You know, what did you mean by that? This is how it sounded. What did you mean? And
Well, we also do have a contingent of people who are just willfully ignorant or willfully still adamant that Way World dogma was the great light of the world. And
we burned those at the stake.
And there's the answer. We can go home now.
We do have those guys there, and I mean, we all know who they are. There are not a lot of them, but there's a few. And so, what do you do with these guys? I don't know. I don't pay a lot of attention to most of them anymore.
What was that, Roth?
I think I'm hearing the next round table. We can get four of these guys together and see what happens.
Well, sometimes, the people who are out to start trouble, if you just let them do it, there's lines that can be crossed, of course, but a lot of times if you let the idiots be idiots and let everyone see that they're an idiot, then you're letting them undercut their own credibility. I mean, we all know there's people on the board who have no credibility because they have killed it for themselves. And, I say don't do anything about them. Let them be foolish and let everyone see it.
Truth be known, if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't read threads as much. They are the attraction in a great many cases.
That's true.
Sometimes it's kind of like a zoo, come in here, with a bag of peanuts and say, "I don't know what's happening in doctrinal today."
Well, it's like, the old driving by the car wreck thing. You just have to look, Some of these opinions that these guys are going to espouse are the verbal equivalent of the car wreck.
Like signing your post with "God bless VP Werwell" in big letters.
Too funny. Takes George to give it to us straight.
But here's some advice.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. Here's some advice. If you ever find yourself starting a thread that has another poster's name in it, it's a mistake. Don't do it. Never do it. It never works out. It's never an interesting thread. It's always, by definition, a personal attack. Stop. Mm-hmm.
Good advice.
And, when you're indirectly referring to somebody, then the same effect is taking place. It just takes longer. Why do we hound people who will not change their minds? Because it's fun. Can we move on? It's the reason the site exists. What?
Why do we do it? Because it's fun.
5 cents, please.
Oh, God. Pseudo, you want to check in here?
Well, I've been thinking about what Raph said, and Raph, I've got to tell you, I've admired people like you and people who have your skills. I wish that I hadn't been so late in developing, word skills, but you have to realize, I've sort of been thinking this over. I'm sort of a product of the way I was raised, and if more of us had these skills, the word skills, to express ourselves, then maybe we wouldn't have some of these problems we have on the board. But, I was raised after Sputnik was put up, and the United States went into a frenzy of teaching math and science. And I was 5 years old when Sputnik went up in 1957, and I can remember distinctly in my elementary school years, in junior high and high school, that if you were really smart, what you were good in was math and science. And, any sissy could do, English. That wasn't, if you couldn't do math and science, you were relegated to being an English teacher, And I remember going through thinking this even through college, that I was a science major and I was an empiricist. And anybody who couldn't understand these concepts was, just a little on the dim-witted side. And I've got to say, Raph, in case I haven't told you yet, how I really feel, is that I was a grown adult with some years under my belt before I really realized that people like myself you know, who are good in math and good in science, we were nothing but like these nerds with these, you know, pocket protectors and calculators. The people who had real power in this world were those who had a command of the language. Those who either through their written word or maybe like D.P. Wirral through their spoken word could make him angry, they could make him mad, or the most powerful thing they could do, they could change your mind on something.
The power of the plagiarized word.
We were trying to tell you this, Sudo, but we were using big words, so we were using
they probably over my head.
Let's pick fire on Sudo.
I'm just glad we're picking on someone else.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and somebody with a southern accent is all the better.
Okay. That's okay. I've got all the IP addresses. I know where you are.
That's the math and science side from him.
I think we lost him.
We lost somebody there.
Who?
We lost Raphael. I'll get him back on.
Uh-oh, let's see. You hear me, right?
Yep.
We hear you.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, he's gone.
Lost him right in the middle of it.
Oh, that's right. You can see everybody I can see, can't you?
Yes, I can.
Cool. Sudo, the gathering.
What do you got? I'm both got. I see you.
See, the way I'm thinking is now when you divide this into part one and part two,
all right.
There's a natural break.
Yeah, there's a couple of natural breaks, yeah.
I think he's back.
Yes, he is. He is. He started talking Hello. Before I connected him, so.
Okay.
The rapture happened and us atheists got left behind. That's what I was saying.
Okay, anybody else got any input or things? Get back on topic, sort of? Or we'll tell jokes, you know, one of the two.
I was trying to think of some good jokes. Everybody's heard the ones I've told.
Yeah, this cannot end without at least one joke from you.
I'm trying to think of one. Yes.
All right, we'll
he can think of a million. He can't think of any clean ones.
I just want to let you guys know that I am wearing my grease spot t-shirt right now. So I'm in the spirit of the evening. But I also am alone in the house. Everybody left me here.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I think my wife
went to work and my daughter is out at the mall with her friends. Mm-hmm.
Typical Saturday.
They both said he's wearing the grease butt shirt again. Let's go.
We know what he's up to tonight. Yeah. So let me put this question out. I've gotten a number of emails that grease butt's becoming Transnet. And that I don't know if all of you remember Transnet. I'm sure you do, Sudo.
Heard about it. I was never.
Oh,
on
you
Transnet.
Never were.
No, I never was either. I had heard something. I had heard about it. But.
Well, it was kind of a free for all. It was very. I remember going on it one night, and it was just chaotic. In fact, any thoughts that it's going downhill or that?
Oh no, not at all.
No, not at all. I really don't think so. It's.
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of all those people during the O.J. Simpson trial. They would say, I'm sick of O.J. I'm tired of hearing about O.J. O.J., nothing on the television but O.J., O.J., O.J. And then you go up to them and say, so did you hear the latest? And they go, what?
Yeah. It's like George was saying earlier, but you can't drive by an accident without looking at it.
But I don't think Grease Spot is an accident. No. That's the difference. You can't drive by the Grand Canyon without looking at it either. There's something happening on this site that I think is very important to a lot of people. And I think that's kind of, in a lot of ways, what we can't help looking at. You know, to be honest, yeah, there are some things that I look at and say, how close was I to becoming that?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, hey, and that person probably, you know, that person, those people probably say the same things about me, like, you know, wow, has he gone off the deep end after having the truth? You know, people have differences of opinion. But I think that there's something, I hesitate to use such a corny word, but there's something beautiful about being able to get on this site and just talk to each other and really hear each other out and see that from this one common experience, that really wasn't either one or common, that we all branched out into this many different directions. I think that's something very powerful. I think it's part of what lures us back here is to say there is a way international that I never knew existed. And I want to hear a little bit about it because, like it or not, it shaped who I am today, in, either in a small measure or in a large measure. I once said that, you know, everyone here is an offshoot of the way, and people got ticked. They were mad at me for saying, but I don't think they understood what I was saying. What I'm saying is that, you know, this experience helped shape who you are. Everyone at Greasepot is an offshoot of the way. And they're probably still mad at me for saying that. I'll say it again.
Sure, we all have something in common right there. Something brought us all together to the Way Ministry. There is something in all of us that we all are alike in that way.
Well, I think, you know, you asked a few minutes ago if Greasepot was turning into Transnet. And I was never on there either, but I've heard a lot about how it kind of degenerated into a free-for-all. But I think to get information out, you've got to get down in the dirt to a certain extent. You know, there's got to be a little passion and about the bad things that happen. And because after all, you know, this isn't Twig Fellowship. This is, you know, these are people. We're all people who got out, and the point is, it's still got to be getting information out there that you're not going to get if you look at the Way's website or you talk to one of their, and you know, to a certain extent, although I never want to cut them off, I think some of the people who paint a rosy picture of the continually paint a rosy picture of their days in the Way and how great things were and how it changed their life and made everything better really do a disservice. And are, even though that's their opinion, that's the way they think, yada yada yada, it's not helping anything. It kind of puts the truth out there that this is, some of these things did happen, and sheds doubt on them to some of the people who are out there. So you know, I don't know what the answer to that is, but you know, there's still got to be the negatives, the passion, the fighting. It's still got to go on. It's always gonna have a role at Greasepot.
Yeah, and I mean, and part of it is very, very. It's a very, very healthy process. Pam San Diego used to, we would talk about things like this, and she would liken, use the example of a bucket. Your life is this bucket that's got some mud in it, and you can pour water in it, but you got to stir it up. And every time you stir it up, the water's going to get cloudy because all that muck is coming up. But the more you pour water into it and stir it, the water eventually will start becoming clearer and clearer. But it's a process that has to happen, that you have to go through. And I think a lot of people, as you were referring to, Oakspear, was that they never go through that. They paint this rosy picture, and maybe they're just not looking straight on. You know, they're refusing to see what's really there.
Well, I firmly believe that a lot of the people who still think that PFAL is 95 or 99% accurate, I maintain that a lot of them haven't really looked at it. And I'm not saying all of them. You know, there's some people who have, you know, done their research and convinced themselves that it's going to work. But I don't think it's happened for the majority of them. They've moved from the Way to an offshoot or started up a fellowship in their own home, and by God, PFAL worked for me, and I'm not going to throw out the baby with the bathwater or the bones with the fish or, you know, whatever other analogy you want
to use. The bones with the fish?
The feathers with the bones. Well, that was
just get out the bones.
That's the one, yeah.
One of those.
Throw out the baby with the fish water.
There you go.
The baby with the fish water, yeah.
But, you know, I see a lot of that on Greasepot where, okay, why do you believe this? I don't know, but it works for me. Oh, okay, great, but I don't know. I think the challenges have got to be out there, you know, and the challenges to those of us who think that Power for Abundant Living is a bunch of fish water. I mean, I don't mind being challenged on my beliefs either, such as they
are. It's such a healthy thing. My dad used to, for years, would and I never got it. I was, unfortunately, I didn't. But he would argue everything. And I remember when at his wake, there were all these politicians came, and they just raved about my father because he made them think. He kept arguing with them and made them think. And there's a very positive thing that that people do miss in the whole art of debate, is that they might get a chance to get exposed to more than what they're seeing. They get a chance to see it from a different viewpoint. George, are you there?
I am still here.
It's early on.
Oh, yeah, God, it's still afternoon almost. The sun's probably still up there.
Yeah, the sun's out, and, well, the sun would be out if it wasn't raining. Still yeah, daylight yeah. Anyway.
Is it really?
We had a beautiful
sunset. About night time for me.
By the way, Root Canal went well.
Well, yeah, they usually do. But, George, it always amazes me what hours I see you posting at the grease spot. You're just all hours.
Yeah, I don't sleep real well of late. So, I'm up, a lot of times I'm up at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. I have nothing to do. I can't go back to sleep. So I'll go and peruse the posts and see what interests me and, make a post or two and go back to bed for a few hours. So.
There are some regular posters who post mm-hmm. in the wee hours in the morning. I'll usually get up before I go to work. I'll jump on GreaseBot for about 15 or 20 minutes before I have breakfast and shower and whatnot. And there's always something from WordWolf on there from like 2 in the morning.
Yeah, I think he works nights, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Yes, he works very late.
Yeah.
He works very late, and that's his prime posting time.
And our friend from Australia, he's like 15 hours out of sync from the rest of us.
Which is great because you get to do these drive-bys, you know. He's like, the heck with all of you, you're crazy. What were you doing yesterday? All right, I'm back. I have severe battles with insomnia sometimes, so I won't get to sleep until about 3, 4 in the morning, and people will catch me in chat. And it's always like one person, not one person in particular, but every time it's a different person, who just wants nothing more than to have a dialogue for hours.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can log in invisible, so.
Some of us don't have that superpower.
Yeah, they make drugs for that.
Yeah, look what it did to Patrick Kennedy.
Oh. Yeah, but he's having such a great time up until the crash.
Yeah, I think one of the major battles we've had over the years at GreaseBot, Raphael, is the whole pineapple on pizza thing.
I don't know what to say. If you put a shoe on a pizza, it stops being a pizza. It's now something to be thrown away. Same thing with pineapple. What is so hard to understand about this?
Spoken like a true New Yorker.
I just, you know what I think to myself?
Hey, I was in New York last year, and the pizza stunk. It's your fault.
Now nobody wants to say anything.
Well, I'll tell you something. Y'all waiting on a joke. I'll tell you the obligatory joke I've got for you, okay?
All right.
And it has to go along. What made me think about this was pineapple on the pizza. Okay, because some people are tolerant about pineapple on the pizza, and some people aren't tolerant. So I've got to tell y'all what was happening to me one day. I was crossing over the Mississippi Bridge here in Memphis. Walking right across, and what do I see? I see a guy standing right on the edge of the bridge, about to jump off. So I ran over and said, "Don't stop! Don't do it!" He looked at me and he says, "Well, why shouldn't I?" I said, "Well, there's so much to live for." He said, "Well, like what?" I said, "Well, are you religious or atheist?" He said, "Religious." I said, "Well, me too." I said, "Are you Christian?" He said, "Well, yes." He said, "Me too." So I said, "Are you Catholic or Protestant?" He said, "Protestant." I said, "Me too." I said, "Are you Episcopalian or Baptist?" He said, "Baptist." I said, "Wow, me too." I said, "Are you Baptist Church of God or Baptist Church of the Lord?" He said, "Baptist Church of God." I said, me too. I said, are you original Baptist Church of God, or are you Reformed Baptist Church of God? He said, Reformed Baptist Church of God. I said, me too. I said, are you Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1879? Or Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1915? He said, Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1915. I said,
he just, oh no. What happened?
Well, this is George.
I lost it right at the punchline.
Right at the punchline.
I know the joke, though.
I knew the joke, too.
How bad is that? That is so...
We got disconnected.
Yep, we're all back.
Did y'all hear the
no,
end
of
it?
No, we didn't. Go back about two steps.
I would just say... Give us the punchline. I think we're all ready for it.
Okay. Well, I said, are you Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1879? Or Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1915? He said, Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1915. I said, heretic! Pushed him off.
No matter how bad I hear it, it's still funny.
All right.
Oh, God, that was funny.
Don't know what happened to this darn skip. I mean, just disconnected me. Like
it does. We all, everybody got disconnected. It wasn't just you.
Oh, okay.
Everybody got the axe at the exact same second.
I think Skype has something built in, like a different time, because it seems that when I go just over an hour, it seems to do that.
Ah.
So.
Okay. Favorite threads.
What threads?
Yeah.
Favorite threads. Your absolute all-time. And it can't be that one.
Well, it has to be.
It has to be.
It
like
has
a
to be, yeah.
No. I refuse to acknowledge its existence. No, the other one.
Favorite threads.
I am waiting for it to die. It depends on what?
I think it depends on what mood I'm in, what I like, what threads I like.
All right, this won't offend anybody. Favorite posters.
Oh, that's not going to offend anyone. Okay, for what purpose? You know, because I got a favorite poster for, like, you know, hanging out and chatting. That's Dave Miller. Dave Miller, easily. I love Dave Miller.
He's a nice guy. He is such a nice guy.
He used to work for me a long time.
Did he really?
No kidding.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he worked for me. He worked part-time. I was doing a couple of remodels in Duluth, and he helped me with them. So that was 22 years ago now, 23 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, he is a really nice guy.
I think it was George who was saying that, you know, you come back every now and then for the posters that drive you nuts. Yeah, that's a whole different kind of favorite poster.
Right.